never miss another show. Stream us live or listen to past podcasts 24/7 at lvsportsnetwork.com. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Back here talking Raiders football on this Friday as the Raiders head to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, to take on the 3-7 Falcons. Are you worried about this game? I think, and I know Q believes, you should be. They got to go out. They got to win this game. They should win this game before coming back next week and then heading out to the East Coast again to play the winless, as of today, Jets. Quick update on the injury report. Klee Furrell back, limited, questionable for Sunday. I would not expect him, but maybe I'm wrong. Josh Jacobs is back at practice in a limited role, but Coach John Gruden said today he expects him to be back for Sunday. The Falcons, on the other hand, still unknown with Julio Jones, game time decision. Dante Fowler looks questionable as well. Tight end Hayden Hurts is questionable. And Todd Gurley, the running back, former Ram, is out with a knee injury. So we'll see how that all wraps up. But we're going to get into that coming up here in a few minutes. Nick Cothrell, staff writer with Silver and Black Today, wrote a piece about the Falcons offense and what the Raiders are going to face down in Atlanta this weekend. You can check that out at SilverandBlackToday.com. By the way, don't forget to follow us. Follow Q at YourBoyQ254 on Twitter. Make sure you also subscribe to the Locked On Raiders podcast, which you can find anywhere you get podcasts. Make sure you are able to do that. Subscribe. Q does that every single day, and it's great stuff, so don't miss that. You can follow me at LVGully, LVGULLY. Also, Silver Black, the number 2 day, is the handle for the show and for the website, and you can follow us there too. You can also listen to the show if you're not streaming us on the Raiders app already. It's really easy. If you're a Raider fan, if you're a member of Raider Nation, you got the Raider mobile app, right? Click the radio in the right-hand corner at the top of the home screen, and you can listen to us right there. So you can't miss it. Or you can check it out on lvsportsnetwork.com is there as well.
Did you get that tweet earlier?
Which
one? I know you got that tweet, actually, but I thought that we could just brag on it real quick. Love the fact that all our shows are doing really well as far as Raider coverage.
Yeah.
We got that tweet. Basically,
yes.
What, we're top five?
Yeah, so the podcast feed, your podcast, the Locked On Raiders podcast, again, and then this show, the podcast feed of this show, we're top five. And then you had Evan's Just Pod Baby at number 9.
Yeah, so top 10. So there you go.
Yeah, three guys that you hear on this show right here.
That's, we're killing the game.
There you go. And by the way, the top two are team produced products.
Exactly.
They're awesome, but they're from the team. So I feel really good that we're right there, man. Good work on your end. Good
work. We're at the top of the food chain, baby.
There you go. So that's all good. But we're talking Raider football. You can talk with us, 702-365-9200. Are you overeating for the day yesterday? Took a long nap, long sleep, woke up this morning. If you didn't have to go to work, you can be with us here. 702-365-9200 is the number. Coming up in just a minute, Nick Cothrell. Hey Nick, are you there?
Nick. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, am I Cothrell, or what, how am I supposed to say your last name? I know you. I asked you this once, but I keep forgetting because I'm old.
Yeah, Nick Cothrell.
Cothrell,
you're right on the money.
Okay, Cothrell. There we go. See?
Don't tell him that, Nick. Just make up something. Just be like, no, man, you've been butchering my name. It's about time you get it right.
You're well off.
There you go. See, you gotta give it to me, man.
Improvise.
That's right. Improvise and make fun of me. That's a good thing. That's a good practice, because we can do it. It's good. All right. Well, Nick, listen, man, you wrote a piece up on the website for today about the Raiders heading out to Atlanta. And this team, you know, you look at this Falcons team, besides the very well publicized late game crumbles where they just can't finish games and they've given up major comeback after major comeback. The thing that's just perplexing about them is that they have so much talent on offense. And so the Raiders going in there with the defense of the Raiders coming off really just a performance that saw them get worse as the season, as the game went on, as they wore down, there's the possibility of oil and water with this thing. Talk a little bit about that Falcons offense and the problems it presents for this young defense.
Yeah, the Falcons, they pass the ball extraordinarily well. They're third in passing, and having Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the outside, that's two guys who are on pace to have 1,000-yard receiving seasons. And then Matt Ryan, we all know, you know, the nature that he's been playing in the league for quite some time. But like you had said, they just can't seem to kind of keep their foot on the gas for all four quarters. So that's kind of been part of the reason their record isn't as good as some may have expected to come into the year. But nonetheless, they can really put up some points. So I think this is a game that the Raiders cannot overlook under any circumstances.
With Todd Gurley being out, how does that change the dynamic of their run game?
I think it changes it a lot. I think it's something that the Raiders' defense needs to try and make them one-dimensional and try to take away the pass and make them run, because with Todd Gurley being out, for the most part, they're gonna be faced with two guys, mainly Ito Smith. I'm assuming he'll take most of the carries, but he's not your prototypical volume type of running back. And you know, Todd Gurley isn't the same guy he was with the Rams, but he still has 9 touchdowns, and he's still putting together some decent numbers. And even with Gurley in the mix, they were 23rd in rushing. So I think if they can really limit what the Falcons can do through the air and force them to run the ball, I think that's going to set up the Raiders' defense quite nicely.
Nick Cothrell from silverandblacktoday.com joins us here to talk about the Falcons and their offense. Listen, Nick, Matt Ryan, you know, Matt Ryan was one of those guys when he got into the league. Of course, you had that run with the Falcons going to the Super Bowl with him. And then, of course, the comeback by the Patriots, all that stuff. But what is it with Matt Ryan? I mean, he had so much talent, but now he's 35 years old. You know, he's kind of sort of on the back end. He can still do it. He threw a lot of picks over the last few years. What's the issue with Matt Ryan there in Atlanta and why he seems to not be able to get over the hump himself?
You know, it's very interesting, right? Because we've seen he's just a few years removed from being an MVP type of quarterback. And I think part of it is not having your Kyle Shanahan or that offensive guru, right? But at the same time, you kind of look and you say, okay, if this guy is the caliber of quarterback of an MVP, and he has Julio Jones, and I know the Falcons have also added in Hayden Hurst, and they used to have, you know, Devontae Freeman when he was a good back. So there's really no reason. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of that stigma that is just hanging over the heads of the Falcons, and there's really not really an explanation for it other than they just can't flat out get the job done and put together four quarters of successful football.
Looking at this game from the defensive side of things, as far as the Falcons go, they're good at stopping the run. Is this a game that you expect where maybe Derek Carr is going to have to throw the ball early to open up the run game later on for Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker?
Yeah, I think it is. Absolutely. I think he's going to have to throw to open up the run game. Even the Chiefs kind of limit what the Raiders did on the ground. Now, I think that may have been a little bit by design of John Gruden wanting to pass the ball and stuff just to keep up with the Chiefs. But I totally agree that the Falcons are pretty good up front. And I think this is a game where you're going to want to own the time of possession, because like
you
saw against the Chiefs, the defense started to kind of get gassed a little bit towards the end of the game. So I think owning the time of possession with the Raiders' run game is something they're going to need to do.
Nick Cothrell joins us from silverandblacktoday.com. And Nick, moving on, you know, you look at this game and you talk about this importance of this game, which Q and I have been talking about for all the entire week, and that the Raiders really need to come off that loss against Kansas City, get the job done, show that you're all about business, and win the game down in Atlanta. Then you got to come all the way back home. They talked to Coach Gruden about that today, about the decision, mostly due to the COVID situation, to come back home instead of staying on the East Coast. Then they got to go right back and play the Jets, who are winless. That, to me, too, is a scary game because anytime you play a professional football team, I don't care how bad they are, those guys have pride. They don't want to be a team that goes 0-for. So how worried are you about this game and then going into next week?
I think anybody that's looking past the Falcons or the Jets, they need to kind of look in the mirror because even last season, the Raiders aren't the same team they are this year, obviously. But even last year, the Jets weren't all that good, and the Raiders went in there. And, maybe they had their guard down last year, and they kind of got taken to the woodshed,
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Raiders need to really just play it week by week, as most of the players and coaching staff have said. But I've seen on social media and all kinds of stuff that people are just chalking up two easy wins. And I think it's going to be quite a bit tougher than most people expect. Obviously, the Raiders aren't able to, kind of stay out there because of the COVID-19 protocols and stuff. So it's going to require some more flying and all that sorts of stuff. But I think these are two games that they're just going to have to take it one day at a time, one week at a time, and put their best foot forward.
Nick, what have you thought of the Raiders and their mental strength this year? I mean, they've gone through a lot of challenges. They've obviously dealt with COVID-19 multiple times. Offensive line out, defensive line out, multiple guys out. You know what I mean? It's just Trent Brown out. I mean, they've dealt with a lot and still are sitting at 6-4 and have their own destiny in their hands. What have you just thought of their mental strength?
Yeah, exactly. All the stuff that they've encountered with it being injuries and then COVID-19 and positive tests. And I think a big part of it comes to the coaching staff and the character and the guys that they're drafting. Mike Mayock and John Gruden really hit that hard. And I think that's a big part of it, right? They're not just drafting talented players. They're talenting young men that really have a good head on their shoulders. And in a situation like this with COVID-19 and all the unfortunate circumstances, I think that's a big part and a big reason that they've been able to kind of keep together that strong mold and keep going forward. And another person I'd like to recognize is Tom Cable and the job he's been able to do. Mm-hmm. Because last year and the year before, Tom Cable, some people were kind of out on him. And this year, I think he has asserted himself as one of the better assistant coaches in the league.
Excellent. As always, Nick Cothrell, you can follow him on Twitter at Nick, Cothrell. He's with us at silverandblacktoday.com. Look for his prediction piece coming up here and then his post-game coverage. Nick, as always, my man, thanks again. Happy late Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you real soon.
You too, guys. Happy holidays.
All right, same to you.
You too,
all right,
brother. Great job.
There we go. There's Nick. All right, so, this Falcons team, man, yes, you should go down and win it, but at the same time, they have the opportunity, or should say the ability, to beat you, especially on offense. I'm not so much worried about that defense, Q, although, hey, it's the NFL. If you let your guard down, anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is a game that the Raiders will show who they are. Something we talked about earlier this week. They go to Atlanta. It's a business trip. You go there and you handle your business. And then you head back. And then you prepare for the Jets. I mean, it's just as simple as that. If you expect to be a playoff team, these are the type of games that you go out there and win, even after coming off a tough loss like that to Kansas City.
Indeed. Okay, we're going to go out on the phone lines before the break for one caller here. T3 in Virginia. Uh-huh. You're on with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today. What's going on, T3?
Hey, guys, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
You too, brother.
Q, I'm glad you made it back safely from Vegas.
Yes.
Appreciate you.
I know about you and all those trips. So
I know. Flying is not for me, brother.
Wanted to jump on one thing that Nick Cottrell said that kind of resonated with me is the offensive line. And I think back to Colton Miller. Q, you and I were both in agreement about the 2018 pick, and we weren't on the same page when Colton Miller was selected. But you got to look back at things now, and boy, Colton Miller has been such an addition to this team.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Cable still, he's getting credit now, but I don't think your Cooley has gotten enough credit up until the last couple of weeks for holding the offensive line together. And I think that this really is going to be the game that the Raiders step up and really flex their muscles on offense, not only in the run game, but also in the pass game as well.
Yeah, T3, great call, man. And I agree
with
you.
Man.
I agree with him, Q. I think this is where you see the Raiders, they just got to come out. And I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, okay? It's a road game. It's tough. They're favored by three. But I think this is the type of game where I can see them up by 10, 14 points late in the game because they've dominated on the ground. They've been able to throw the ball, and their defense has stepped up a little bit.
I just think that they're going to come out with that same intensity that they came out with Sunday night.
Yeah.
Where they had all the confidence in the world that they could score whenever they want. If the Raiders continue to play like that, a lot of teams are going to be surprised of what kind of team that they're facing in the Raiders, because that intensity, and we saw it firsthand, we were in the press box and I kept talking to you about it, like, man, these guys look so focused and locked in that they feel like they could score whenever they want to.
Yes, and the last thing I think any team in the AFC wants to see in the playoffs are the colors silver and black. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be that time of the day when we get the Q-tip before Q leaves us to go cover some high school football, but we'll get that in before he leaves here on this Friday edition of Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio on this Friday. Coming up at 4 o'clock, more radio goodness. To be specific,
that's right.
Raiders radio goodness, Q, right? So we're live,
absolutely.
And Vinny and Lincoln Kennedy on In the Huddle are going to be live, too.
So because that's how they roll.
That's how they roll. We're rolling.
I heard Vinny already chiming in. He's ready to go.
I know. He got connected and... He was hot and didn't know it. He's like, hello, hello.
Did that go over the air?
It did.
Oh, that's awesome.
It did. It happens.
Nice.
Luckily, it's a holiday Friday.
Hey, live radio happens, baby.
I wonder, you know, it's Black Friday. I called it because we have a store on our website, too, so I called it Silver and Black Friday. But Black Friday, people usually go out shopping. I just don't know what it's like because I don't go. I hate doing that, so I don't even go out ever. But I wonder what it was like today because of the whole COVID thing. Because I think most people are just ordering off online. So,
well, me and the wife, we took an early trip to Wally's World because we had to get some eggs.
Ah.
You know, I had to get a little breakfast in our bellies.
There you go.
And Wally's World looked pretty busy when we turned into the parking lot. We're like, oh, hell. But then when we got inside, it wasn't too bad.
No.
So that was just one little store that, you know, obviously people are doing their Black Friday shopping at. But I don't feel like it's going to be as busy as it normally would be.
Yeah, I haven't seen any videos of people, assaulting each other over TVs or
thank God.
PlayStations.
That is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Man, TVs are so...
I wish someone would try to fight me over a sale on something.
Yeah, and you know what?
Beat the brakes off
TVs
somebody.
Are so cheap now, period.
Right.
They're so cheap, it's like, really? You're going to save, an extra $8? Come on. Well, you know,
exactly.
It's not worth getting in a fight over. But anyway, we got to get to everybody's favorite part of the day, and that, of course, is the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip, your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Today's Q-tip is more of a challenge. And when I say a challenge, I'm talking to the Raiders defensive line. The Falcons, who are the next team up on the schedule, obviously, they're going to be traveling to Atlanta to take them on. We've been talking on about their offense and how they can score with anybody. You know, you can't let them hang around and hang around. Well, I want to challenge the Raiders defensive line to step up and make it happen. And what I mean by make it happen is get to Matt Ryan. Make him uncomfortable. The Saints just sacked him 8 times last week. And I know the Raiders defensive line is not the Saints defensive line. I get it. But you're coming off of a game where your quarterback got sacked 8 times. Now, you telling me Mad Max, Carl Nassib, Cleef Earl, if he's out there, I don't care who it is, Vickers, whoever's on that defensive line, you telling me they can't get to Matt Ryan a couple times? I'm not asking for 8. I'm not greedy. I mean, I am, but I'm not. 3 times. Can you sack the quarterback 3 times? You sack the quarterback 3 times. You're going to win that game, and it's not going to be a problem. I mean, simple as that. If you had sacked Patrick Mahomes 3 times, you probably win that game on Sunday. And I hate to keep going back to that, but you really got no pressure on him throughout the course of the game. You've got to find a way to get home. So I'm challenging that defensive line, and I'm challenging Rob Marinelli. Step your game up. You just saw this team give up 8 sacks a week ago. If you can't get home 3 times, there's a problem. Not with them, but with you. So, you know, that's all. I don't care who it is on that defensive line. I don't care, Scott, if you got dressed and went out there. If you can't get home on a team that just gave up 8 sacks, there's a problem. So that's my challenge for the Raiders defensive line as they travel to Atlanta.
And, you know, Q, I'm not picking on guys because this is listen, I'm a professional. I don't go after people personally and all that kind of stuff. But I watched the film of last week, and I just saw what I saw on the defensive line without Clee Ferrell there. Really just, you know, it just made me feel like, because
it wasn't good.
No, and I'm watching again. We pick on him a little bit, not on purpose, but Malik Collins, just there's nothing going on there.
No. There's a reason why he signed a 1-year deal.
Yes.
And there's a reason why he'll be a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, and there's just nothing happening there. And then, you know, I know Vinny has disagreed with me on this a little bit. You know, the stuff with Max Crosby. Oh, well, it's because he's getting double teamed. Not always.
It doesn't matter, though. That's what the alpha dogs do.
Right.
They get doubled. They get tripled. They get held. There's no excuses. You got to get home.
Yeah. I was watching games yesterday. J.J. Watt. Right?
Right.
I mean, double time, triple team, and he's fighting through it.
And if you don't get home, get your hands up. Get your hand on the ball.
Yeah.
Make
a
play. Do something that alpha dogs do. You know, on that last drive that KC had, we both looked at each other and said, somebody's got to make a play.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, nobody made a play.
Nobody made a play. And I don't make excuses because I think Jonathan Abram's got a long way to go to be the player
Agreed.
He can be. And to your point earlier in the show, which is huge and key, which is they need to use him where he's got strength, right? So so coverage isn't always going to be that. But to me, it's just so unfair for that young defensive backfield because when they have had pressure up front, like the first Kansas City game, and when they had the pressure up front in that 3-game winning streak, it took the pressure off those guys a little bit. And you saw interceptions by Jeff Heath, and you saw better play by Trayvon Mullen and stuff like that. So to me, that's the other issue here is they're really letting the other half of their team down on the back end of the defense, and they need to do it. Okay, we're going on the Raider Nation hotline. We're going to talk to Dana down in the FLA. Dana, what's going on?
What's up, gentlemen? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Chilling.
I just wanted to get on. One, I wanted to tell you, I'm so grateful and thankful for this Raider Nation Radio and you guys. I love seeing two guys live out their dream like you guys are doing it, and it's just fantastic. Glad I got on before Q to hit the road. Love high school football myself. Got a couple high school football players in the family.
Nice.
But just think it's awesome. Black Friday starts earlier every year, and Mayock did a little Black Friday shopping with Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley, and then he said on JT's show he's looking to add more juice because we got big, strong defensive ends, but he wanted to see if he can get some juice. So put a little heat on Arden Key. If he ain't getting it done, maybe one of those two can provide us something down the stretch. I really think the keys coming down the stretch are going to be the maturation of Jonathan Abrams, and I think that we are set with our corners with Tavon Mullen and Damon Arnett. And I mean, my silver and glass cup is not just half full, it's overflowing. And when they went deep to Tyreek Hill and I saw Arnett running stride for stride with him, I was like, we got that locked up for years to come now. And also, I really think that Edwards and Ruggs, this last stretch, we really need them to show, you know, Mayock said that he needed to draft smart wide receivers because Gruden's offense requires so much. And I think it said a lot about Derek Carr last year, what he was not having to work with because we really only had Zay Jones for half a year, and it was a lot of, you know, there wasn't much out there for him. And now he's running Gruden's system, you know, like a maestro doing the Gruden symphony. But, you know, Brian Edwards, he didn't go up very strong on that one play. His coach said he makes 50-50 balls, 80-20 balls. And if he wants Carr to trust him, he's going to have to be a little more physical. And I think, you know, the drops and I think the mistake by Abrams is going to be a wake-up call. And I think we're going to be a force down the stretch. And I just wanted to again say, Happy Thanksgiving. I love you guys. And you guys, man, to not have to listen to national radio anymore and be able to listen to Raider talk all the time, it is such a blessing.
Dana, man, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Have a great holiday weekend yourself as well. And you know, bring up a good point there. He brings up a great point, Q, which is, you know, the offense and talking about what Mayock said about the kinds of guys he's drafted. And it goes back to a little bit of what we talked about with the Henry Ruggs situation. And now we talked a couple times today about Bryan Edwards and Jonathan Abram, actually, which is, remember Trayvon Mullen last year? It was about game 10. Where he kind of turned the corner. So here we are again. We're at game 10 going into week 11. This is when I want to see these guys start to pick. I'm not saying that you can control your targets, but if you're Bryan Edwards, now you've been back a few weeks from the injury, you're Henry Ruggs, now you're in week 11, let's start to see a little more from these guys. They should be getting open. They should be doing things that, like Dana said, that get Derek Carr to trust them so he goes to them more.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I still don't like that 3rd-and-1 call, the fade route to the rookie, but I understand, you know, and if he's going to be that 80-20 guy that they were all describing him be, then he's going to have to make that play. Even though there was a lot of contact on that exact one, he's going to have to make plays similar to that.
No doubt about it. Q, I know you got to run, man. Have a great weekend. Be safe going down to high school football and have fun doing it.
Absolutely, my man. I appreciate you. Tell Vinny, have a great show, and we'll be back at it again on Monday.
We sure will. There you go. Q Myers off into the night, the Texas night, to go cover high school football as he does as well. His work never ends, and so he's off to do that. It'll be a fun time. But anyway, I'll be with you here the rest of the hour. Coming up after the next break, which we're going to go to in about 5 minutes, will be Vinny Bonsignor. We'll catch up with him. He is on the road in Atlanta to cover the game for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. His show In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy coming up next here as we set for the next thing. So, with me the rest of the way is Damon Cotton, who is our engineer and producer today. So, Damon, you know, what Q was mentioning, and we were talking about the Raiders offense and these young players, is they do. I mean, I think people need to be more patient and let them develop. But at the same time, this is a time of the year you want to see them say it starts to like click for them, and you start to see them more.
Yeah, I think the problem with Bryan Edwards is just like missing those games. It's just like that. Maybe he's on like game 5, game 6 of like of his schedule
point.
For
That's
this season.
Yeah.
And but it's like, hey man, we're already 8. We're games in. We're going to game 11 now. Like we can't afford those mistakes where it's just like, why are you throwing that pass to that rookie? We got Darren Waller on the team. Why are we taking a chance on a guy who's basically, I don't want to say it as a negative, you know, but unproven so far this season.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, he's a 3rd-round draft pick, and everybody liked him. He believe me, for those of us who watched training camp, he was a star.
Oh, Derek Carr couldn't stop talking about him.
He couldn't stop talking about him. But he hasn't done it yet because, like you said, he missed games, injuries, all that kind of stuff. And that's the same thing with Ruggs. I'm okay with Ruggs. I still think he needs to be targeted more, meaning they need to do separate plays to get him the ball, like just get him the ball somehow and just allow him to do his thing so he gets touches, because I think the experience is so vital, especially as you get on down the road, you get towards the end of the season, maybe they got to go on the road and win a game, or they got to win a game at home, a big game to assure a playoff spot, and you want to have that guy there, not just because he's fast. You want him to be able to catch the ball and get yards after the catch, which is what he did at Alabama.
Yeah, because you don't want to spend that 1st-round pick on just a decoy, on
Correct.
Just a guy that you can say, hey.
That's important.
It is important. But for that 1st-round pick, you need for him to be more active. And I know, like, I see why the fans love you guys so much, because you're like, every fan, I feel like, if they want to call about Ruggs, it's like, why isn't he getting more touches? What can they do to get him more involved? But I understand that frustration of, like, that 1st-round draft pick, the first receiver off the board. You see some other rookie receivers maybe, you know, giving their teams a little bit more production. You're like, why isn't our guy giving us that same production?
Right. And you look at the Raiders too. I mean, Nelson Aguilar, that signing has been great for the Raiders. The guy's just stepped up. And to your point, Darren Waller is such a big target. He's so good usually. He had a couple rough weeks there, but then he came out of it against the Chiefs. And he's there. I mean, he's like a wide receiver. He's like a huge wide receiver. So he can go get the ball. So you talk about contested balls, and that was supposed to be one of the great things, the 80-20 balls about Bryan Edwards. But if I'm Derek Carr and I'm looking and I have Waller, I mean, your comfort level because you played with him longer, but also his ability. I mean, it's proven versus the unproven guy, even though, you know, there's so much potential there.
Yeah, I guess it's hard for Derek Carr. Like, you don't want to like try to like experiment's a bad word here as well, but you know, just like, oh, let me give Bryan Edwards a chance. It's like, we don't like, we're past that point in the season where we're giving a guy a chance.
No, now you're talking playoffs.
Yeah.
Right,
like,
so you can't mess around.
Like, the targets are going to be so limited. Like, you're saying now we need to get Henry Ruggs needs to get more targets. It's not that many targets for Bryan Edwards. So, like, if you get, like, those 3 or 4 a game, you got to produce.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So, no, it's going to be interesting. That's why I think this game in Atlanta, you know, if you can come out with the intensity, like Q had mentioned, if you can come out with the intensity against Atlanta that you did for Kansas City, then I think they can get out to a nice lead. Then you can start moving the ball around and getting guys involved because you have a big lead and you're not worried about it being a close game. You know what I'm saying? Even to the point Q, I think, made earlier in the week, he said, yeah, this might be the game, or maybe it was Evan, this might be the game you get Peterman in there, right? Because you just give the guy, I know. But if you can get, whoa, Scott, whoa, let's not get out of control. But the idea there is that you have a big enough lead that you can put reserves in, right? And with reserves in, you can get young players in and get them some touches that you might not get in if it's a closer game. Now, I still think that guys like Ruggs and Edwards are valuable in a real close game as well if they can use their ability. But again, it's going to take time. Nobody has patience anymore, DeMond. Nobody wants to wait for a guy to develop. I heard all this talk about Judy and Lamb, and I see Lamb with the Cowboys yesterday. I don't know if you saw him. He did not have a good performance. So again, he's a young player, though. It's not like I looked at him and said, oh, he's terrible. No, just didn't have a great game.
Speaking of patience, Tua, you know, he gets we're going to like change after our bye. He's going to get the start one bad half, and they're just like, hey, man, let's put Fitzpatrick back in. Can't take any chances.
Yeah. Yeah, and they say that's temporary, but you just never know. But it's always interesting because you have to let these guys develop. Everybody's in a hurry, and some guys they do. They come right out of college and they go from 0 to 100 and they're good to go. So we'll see. But okay, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, DeMond and I will go out on the interwebs and bring in Vinny Bonsignor, who hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy here at 4 o'clock. He's gonna join us from Atlanta to give us the latest skinny on what's going down with the Raiders roster, who will play, who will not play, and get his take on the game and what the Raiders need to do. You're here on Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today. Home stretch on this holiday Friday. Hope you had a great, great Thanksgiving. Frankly, my favorite holiday. Yes. Why? No, not because of turkey. Kind of because of football. But also, I love Thanksgiving just because it's such a fiercely American holiday. Of course, it was different this year with everything going on. But it's a time to connect and just, you know, focus on family and friends and getting together usually. So hopefully by next year, we'll all get back to that and we can go back to some big celebrations and things like that as well. But you're back here, Scott Gulbranson, Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. By the way, I know Raider Nation fired up again, and this time with more reason, I believe, good reason. Ravens Steelers now move to Tuesday night, and then the Ravens Thursday night game next week is going to be moved to Sunday or Monday. Some weird stuff going on there, but we'll see. Also, Tack McKinley, if you didn't hear, the Raiders are keeping him. He failed 2 physicals. San Francisco was his last. And it looks like he has a hamstring injury, which everybody kind of knew about. But the Raiders want to stick with him through the hamstring injury and see if they got something there. So they're going to put him on injured reserve and take that chance. So we'll see how that goes. But the Raiders overall getting healthier, which is a good sign this tail end of the year. And this time, it's time to bring on our good friend Vinny Bonsignor, who's joining us from some unknown named location to keep his privacy private in Atlanta. It is Vinny Bonsignor, of course, coming on In the Huddle next with Lincoln Kennedy, also the beat writer for the RJ. Vinny, how was your trip, buddy? Yeah. Vinny, we'll get him here in a second. We'll get him up here in a second. But we're going to talk to Vinny about that because I want to know from him, too, a little bit about the whole Tack McKinley thing and what's going on with that. Because the fact is they knew he would fail the physical, but they wanted to keep him. So they put him on injured reserve, DeMond, and they say, hey, look, you know what? We're going to take a chance on the guy. Let him get healthy, maybe, and then we'll make a determination.
Are you not buying into the conspiracy theory that maybe he failed those other physicals on purpose just purposefully get himself to the Raiders?
I heard Vinny and Lincoln talking about that a couple days ago. I thought it was funny. Hey, maybe he did. He's an Oakland guy.
And maybe now they have to cover it up with a hamstring injury to, like, you know, so the dig isn't up, you know. So
there you go.
Obviously, he's just like, oh, yeah, well, he's on injured reserve, wink, wink, you know, for a little while.
Yeah.
And maybe by like week 12, you know, he's ready to go.
That's it. Maybe they made him do the splits so he actually hurt his hamstring. Like, inside him.
Yeah, man. But, like, I like that they're kicking the tires just on, like, hey, you showed some potential.
Yeah.
We'll bring you in because, you know, we need everything that we can get.
Yeah, they need help. And why not? I mean, it's not going to cost you a ton of money. It's not costing you anything else. Why, might as well get a chance for it. So we'll see if it happens. But we'll take a phone call if you guys want to call in here towards the end of the show. 702-365-9200 is the number. And we're going to wait till Vinny's available, and we'll go out to Vinny in just a minute when he's on. Vinny, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, there he is. Okay, cool. How was the trip? You get out there okay?
Everything was fine. Just got checked into the hotel in time to watch a little Notre Dame, Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I was a little worried about Carolina. Mac Brown's got the Tar Heels playing sound football. This was not going to be an easy game, and obviously it hasn't been for Notre Dame.
But I'll tell you what, in this game, because I'm watching it here in the studio, Vinny, on the breaks, and Ian Book has just stepped up as a leader, and he makes little plays here. You saw that little flip pass that he did when pressure broke down, and this was a really close game. It still is. I mean, it's only a 7-point game with a minute 30, but Notre Dame looks to be in control here, and a fun game to watch. I wish I recorded it, so I'm going to go back and watch that first half because it might be a little frustrating for me, but we'll see. But looks like the Irish are going to go to 9-0 and keep that number 2 ranking through the weekend, so we'll see how it goes. All right, well, on to Raider football. So the Tack McKinley thing, Vinny, we knew coming that the reason that he was failing the physicals were due to a hamstring injury. What did you hear from your sources about why the Raiders want to stick through him with the injury? Do they really think they see something there that could be helpful to them maybe in the future?
Well, I mean, I think it's also indicative of what they haven't been getting in terms of the pass rush. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you had mentioned, there's no real cost issue here. It's not costing them a draft pick or anything like that. So in their mind, all right, you know, if we have to wait for him to get healthy, if he could give you anything for the last 3 games, maybe into the playoffs, mm-hmm. It's worth having a player of that caliber around. So I think it's just whatever he can give them, they'll accept, they'll take. And if it takes a week or two for him to get healthy, they're ready to wait that out.
Yeah, and again, too, with as bad as the Raiders have been hit by the COVID bug at times, you just don't know what's going to happen with that, too, right? So you just need, I think, having guys ready and having bodies ready is an important thing. One of the guys that we talked about, a Q&A earlier in the show, Vinny, was because we had a caller who, because we've been both vehemently against it throughout the course of this season, but it's starting to maybe look a little more appealing to me, which is Earl Thomas. Why wouldn't that be a good idea to help Jonathan Abram, because Jonathan Abram is going to be a fine player. He's in his rookie season, basically, so I think he's going to make mistakes like all young players do. But to have a veteran guy like that at this point in the season, he's still out there. Why would that not be a good idea?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea, but if you're Earl Thomas, you're probably not going to come for something that you don't think is worthy of your talents. So I would imagine that there's money involved.
Yeah. You know? So money, I get it.
But if this was a case where he's willing to play the last 6 games of the season at a very nominal cost, I'm sure a lot of teams would be interested in that. I wonder though, what he's actually asking for. And you know, for him, if it's not worth the money to come back this late in the season, mm-hmm. his best bet is just to chill, get back in shape, stay in shape, and give it another go next year when he can have a better idea and other teams have better ideas what their rosters look like during the offseason to see if he's going to be a fit for them.
Yeah, true. I mean, you can avoid injury and so on and then just try to get the contract in the situation you want. So I get that piece of it. We look at other Raiders and we look at the recent injury report, which probably came out when you were on the plane. But you look at Cleveland Furl there listed as questionable. Do we still think that he's going to be held out another week before he makes his comeback, or might he see action in Atlanta, Vinny?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule anything out. I mean, all these games at this point are, I mean, as close to must wins as possible, mm-hmm. because A, you need to get into the playoffs, but B, you want to try to enhance your playoff seeding as much as possible. So if he's ready to go, if he feels like he's ready to go, and it has nothing to do with the game plan or anything like that, it's just how is he feeling? What's his win like right now? His endurance like right now after missing a week and not really practicing much for these last 2 weeks? Where is he physically? But if he feels like he can play and he can contribute and he can be an asset, that I would suspect that he's going to give it a go. But, you know, that's a a fine line, and you have to be careful with all of that, because you know you don't want to have him be a liability or put himself in a position where he's not physically ready and he might get hurt or something like that. So it's a fine line. But if he's ready to go, I would imagine that they're going to give him a shot.
Yeah, again, Vinny Bonsignor joins us. He's coming up next in the huddle with Lincoln Kennedy. Make sure you stay around. That's from 4 to 6, heading your way next here on Raider Nation Radio. And we look at the rest of that lineup, and on the defensive side, Damon Arnette continues to come back from that injury, and he's ready to go. Vinny, do you have any other concerns on that defensive side from a health perspective on guys? It looks like, you know, this is a time when everybody seems to be getting better. We got the great news, it sounds like, at least on Trent Brown coming to practice maybe next Wednesday and being eligible for that Jets game as well.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see where all that is headed. you know, the Raiders absolutely want to get something for their money at this point.
Yes.
And, you know, he makes them a better team when he's right. Defensively, I'm interested in, you know, where Corey Littleton is going to be. Damon Arnette, like you mentioned, still waiting on LaMarcus Joyner. Sure. you know, so at some point, theoretically, all these guys are going to be back. And again, this is about putting yourself in the best possible position to make a strong playoff run and then maybe even do some damage once you get there. So much of that is predicated on health, managing COVID-19. You know, I think we're in weird times right now as far as that goes. Just look around the NFL. There's obviously a surge going on across the country. So it's, you got to, you know, lock down and do whatever you can to be as safe as you can in order to be available, because it's last six games of the season is going to be about who could go out there and play and contribute.
And Vinny, before I let you go to get set for your own show, I wanted to close on that one because I've actually taken some heat from folks in Raider Nation because when we saw some of these other situations pop up with COVID and games being moved, I actually not defended the NFL, but I just pointed out that sometimes people like to make apples to oranges comparison with the Raider situation and when they had the game moved up a time versus back a time. Now you look at this Ravens situation where it looks like they had some really serious violations of protocol throughout the organization. And of course, there's still some time to do it, but it looks like these games are being moved differently. They had more players, of course, test positive because they've had an official outbreak, if you will. But do you start to see now a little bit of some discrepancies on how the NFL's handled that situation versus some of the others?
You know, it's hard for me to say. And I think that each situation is different, and the NFL is doing the best that they can. I don't think that they were out to, you know, stick it to the Raiders in this case. It was basically a matter of if you have enough. Is your building safe? Is there an outbreak? Or do you have a whole bunch of guys that are testing positive? And it was basically yes to the questions of if you have enough player. No, there wasn't any major breakout that was going on in either of the situations. There were guys that were missing time because of contact tracing, but there weren't multiple positive tests or like a high number of it. And so this is about the NFL trying to do the best that they can and trying to be as safe as possible. I know Raider fans wanted games postponed or moved. But you know what? Every time you do that, there's a ripple effect to that, too. You start playing on Tuesday and then having to potentially come back next Sunday. Is that really what you want?
Yeah.
You know, and the other part of it is they were in both of those games to be able to win both of those games.
That's
so
true.
It wasn't really a matter of, you know, how much COVID-19 really reared its ugly head in that, or you didn't have enough players, or you were just completely depleted. They managed well enough in both of those games that it was, to me, the right thing to do to play. You can't keep postponing games and pushing games for less than really, really extenuating circumstances.
Right.
And you go down that road.
Yeah, and that's what I said, too, because, I mean, when the Raiders situation with the offensive line, that was a contact tracing thing. You didn't have 9 or 10 guys that tested positive, right? So I think a little bit different there, but I appreciate your opinion on that one. Now, before we let you go, I'm not going to ask you for official prediction, but what's your gut tell you about this game against the Falcons and the Raiders?
I think the Raiders should definitely win this game. I think that there's, recipe that they have that puts them in a good position to be close in games with a great offense. And they could do it so many different ways. You want to run some clock, you go to the run game. You need quick strikes. You know, you have that at your fingertips with all the weapons that Derek Carr has. I think that the Atlanta Falcons, good chance they're going to score some points. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, those are names to contend with. But they're the better team, and they have more to play for. The Raiders do. And I think that at the end of the day, they're going to go, win this game and then move on to the New York Jets and hold on to that seventh spot. Or if things work out elsewhere around the league with some teams that they're knocking heads with, maybe even move up a notch because again, and I wrote this, you can't if you're going to be a playoff team, these are the games you have to win. There's no excuse. You can't lose these games. This is, you're the better team. Go take care of business.
Yeah, it's that time to make that step and show, get business done. Vinny, I expect them to go out with the same intensity we saw last week in this game.
No question about it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right, Vinny, listen, take care of yourself, man. We worry about you on the road out there. So be safe, and we'll catch up with you on Monday.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, there you go. Vinny Bonsignore coming up next with Lincoln Kennedy at 4 o'clock. And DeMond, I'll tell you what, this game is going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. It's an early game for us on the West Coast, so we get our Raider football at 10 a.m. What's your
fun,
prediction? What
fun,
do you,
fun.
Exactly. There you go.
What, gotta what, be up so early to watch a game.
What, so early.
Yeah.
You young guys, man, getting up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I know, right? Yeah,
what do you think schedule. Of this game, though? What do you think is going to happen?
To be honest, I expect it. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than maybe you do, as you just said. Oh, okay. Maybe Peterman can get in because, you know, the other guy, as Lincoln always says, the other guys have to get paid too. And this offense, you know, there aren't scrubs. And as we've seen with this Raiders defense, they aren't just like this world beaters that's just going to shut them down.
Right.
You know, you can stop the Broncos because, you know, Drew Locke isn't just, you know, elite competition. But Matt Ryan, let's not say he's elite now, but he's still very good. So
yeah.
I don't.
He can make you pay.
Yeah. So maybe at least like 10 points. It might get to double digits, but I do expect a shootout.
There you go. Well, I think there's going to be points on the board. I think the Raiders will give up plenty of points, but I really like Derek Carr to come out in this game. I think Darren Waller is going to have a big, big game, as will our man Hunter Renfro, because he knows he comes on the air with us on Monday, so it would be great to have highlights. But no, seriously, I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. I think they're going to be able to run the ball early, or I should say later on, and really just grind out the clock after they put some points on the board. So I like that. But check out silverandblacktoday.com. We'll have our game predictions up there from our whole staff where you could find out. So for DeMond Cotton, producing and being on the air a little bit today as well. So thank you for that. My co-host Q Myers, I am Scott Gilbranson. Thanks to our guests, Mo Moten and Nick Cothrell. We appreciate everybody for being here. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll talk to you hopefully on a victory Monday as the Raiders go down to catch the Falcons. Remember, you can catch the game right here on Raider Nation Radio. For the entire crew, this has been Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. Take care, everybody.